Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
It's the 2024 offseason, and we are here to talk Dolphins football. We'll be with you every week all through it up until the start of the regular season. We'll be discussing free agency, we'll be discussing the draft, and we'll have a good time. Hopefully you'll join us as we proceed through the offseason, and we've got a show today, so here we go. And it's another Fin Fans podcast. With me today is the Rigonis. How are you, Lewis?
Oh, yeah. All right. Super Bowl Sunday. No Dolphins. No Dolphins in the game, but yeah. Are there any Dolphins, guys, before you ask Chris how he's doing, are there any Dolphins on either one of these teams? Ex-Dolphins, I should say. I don't think so.
I don't know. Not that comes to mind.
Nobody, right?
Nobody. No, I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead. So how you doing, Chris? I'll ask for Mike.
I'm good. I'm excited for the game this weekend. I'm more excited for the draft and the offseason and everything that's to come. But hopefully, I'm rooting for the Niners. I'm tired of seeing the Taylor Swift stuff.
You know that
Mahomes, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're turning into a Californian.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. But at the same time, if the Chiefs win, I know a lot of Niners fans that, you know, won't be able to talk crap to me all offseason. So it's kind of a win-win either way.
Yep. Or lose-lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sure if you're running around in your Dolphin clothes, and I know you've got a shitload of them.
Yeah.
I imagine people are talking shit to you anyway.
Yeah. It's actually been pretty good for the most part. I mean, people still respect the fact that even though we lost and we're out, I still rep my squad regardless, you know.
You know,
I do too. People just give me funny looks.
What, the Dolphin? It's funny because when I wear my Dolphin stuff around here, you know, you always have fans come up
and say things to you. Around here being Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, every time I wear it, you know, I always have people come up and say, yeah, all right. You know, they get excited. So there's fans of every team.
Yeah, when I was in the airport there, somebody, go Fins, you know.
Go Fins. Yeah, exactly. Yep. I mean, it's a good thing. You know, I mean, it's not like it used to be. I will tell you that. I mean, you know, there was a point where this franchise was top three. I mean, you know, you had Dallas, right? You had Miami. Yeah. And you basically had, no, Mike.
Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Chris, for the love of God. And then Oakland was, you know, was up there as well. I mean, for years, you're talking about the 70s and into the early 80s. Yeah. Those were the teams, you know,
It began to shift in the 80s, though. You had the Redskins who were
49ers.
Good for a while. Yep, the 49ers were on a run there.
It did. But there was, you know, those were You know, and the Dolphins continued through the 80s, you know, once Marino came on, because, you know, we went to a Super Bowl with him as well, up into like the mid 80s. And then, you know, Dallas fell on their face. Pittsburgh kind of fell on their face. They fell out of favor for a little while. And Oakland kind of did too, to an extent. Yeah. You know, they had some decent teams, but you know, the shift did change. But man, those were the four teams for a long while. And it has shifted. Then obviously the Patriots, you know, became the
and
team.
The Bills in the 90s, you know.
The Bills in the 90s, even though they didn't win a Super Bowl. And then you had Seattle that went on a nice run. You know, they had a good team for a couple of years. But the Ravens, Mike, I don't remember many Super Bowls that they've played in other than one that they won against Tampa, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, what do we got?
Well, we got a new defensive coordinator. We should probably talk a little bit about him. His name is Anthony Weaver. I'm sure probably most people know that by now. Mm-hmm. What they may not know is this will be his 20th season in the NFL. He spent 13 as a coach and 7 as a player.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot of experience.
That he does. That he does. 13 years as a coach. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's got to bring something to the table, right?
Yeah. He was only a coordinator for 1 year, and that was for the Texans. And that was the year they were kind of cleaning the house. So, it wasn't the year to really judge him. So, you know, who knows, you know, what kind of defensive coordinator he'll actually be.
Right, right, right. Hopefully a guy that you know, does a good job and can relate to the players and, you know, have some kind of medium there, you know.
Here's what McDaniel had to say about him. He said, okay. I'm excited, Dan, to add Anthony to our staff, not only for what he'll bring to the Dolphins as a teacher and coach, but even more so as a leader of men. He has a proven resume of success built on his personal investment in his players. Most importantly, he shares our belief that players' development is the cornerstone to both team building and sustained excellence. Through conversations with him and those who have worked with him, it became clear that we have aligned values in football philosophies and coaching.
Okay.
So, you know, that's why you hire him, right?
Well, you would think so. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to know the input, you know, when it comes to this sort of thing. Like, is it Greer and Stephen Ross and, you know, they bring in McDaniel and the three of them amongst themselves make the decision? I would assume that that's the case. I
tend to think it's different. I tend to think that it's McDaniel's call because it's his coaching staff.
Yep. Yeah. I agree too. The couple clips that I've seen from Weaver, the way he talks to his players and stuff, it reminds me a lot of McDaniel's style. So I think their style kind of coincides with each other pretty well. I was reading a quote from J.J. Watt that because he coached J.J. Watt, I think it was in 2020, which might have been his last year in Houston. And he was just saying that he's a great coach, great leader of men, and, you know, he thinks he's going to do great things in this new role. So, right. I mean, to have the respect from a guy like J.J. Watt, you know, one of the best defensive ends I've seen play in my time, that's a pretty good cosign. So, I mean,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, at first I didn't really know what to think. Because he was one of the guys that I didn't have as much knowledge on, but the more and more that I read, the more I like, you know.
Yeah, we just have to have the players out there, right? I mean, that's the key to this whole thing. I mean, if he goes out there and, you know, obviously we're going to probably start the season without Phillips and without Chubb, guys that, you know, are going to be here that we know for certain. Coming off of injuries, they're under contract, obviously, and you know we're not going to have them to start the year, so he's got to work around that right out of the gate, and that's not an easy task, guys.
Not at all.
No,
by no means. You know, and then on top of that, you don't know, you know, what's going to happen in regard to some of the other players like Van Ginkle and and Long, right? Who's a free agent, isn't he?
No. We have Long up until next year. He's a free agent next year.
So Long's under contract. So that's a good thing. Baker's under contract for next year as well, right?
Yeah, but they were saying that they may move on from him for cap reasons. And yeah. What's also pretty interesting is that I don't know how true it is or not, but I saw something that came out that said Patrick Queen, who is one of the pretty good middle linebackers for the Ravens,
right,
would want to follow Weaver down to Miami because he's a free agent. So,
I think
he's a slight upgrade from Baker, but nothing crazy. So, I mean, if we can pay him around the same, maybe even a little cheaper than what we're paying Baker, you know, he fits Weaver's system too. So, I think that'd be an upgrade.
But aren't we trying to, you know, get rid of money? I mean, if we get rid of money just to replace it.
Well, yeah, but if you get rid of Baker, you got to replace him with somebody, you know.
Right. I'm looking at this, Mike, and it's saying that dead money and cap savings. So to understand this, it's $5 million cut pre-June 1st. And then there's another number here that says almost $10
million. Yeah, so I think the number is 10. But I think it'd have to be post-June or first.
Yeah, that's a significant amount of money. Yeah. I mean, if you cut him, then that probably gives you money to sign Robert Hunt. Yeah.
A June 1st cut, what is that, $9 million I think they save?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pre-cut. Yeah, yep. It's like almost $10 million, Mike. Yep. It's $9,820,000. So you're talking at about $10 million. You could turn around and take that $10 million and, you know, sign Robert Hunt.
Add it to Howard's money, and they'll have a lot to do as far as backfilling the roster.
Mm-hmm. Well, Howard, I think, is almost a certainty.
I think he's going to be a June 1st cut. That's my point.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about $23 million with him, right?
Yep.
That's significant. I mean, if you do, in fact, cut him, you know, that maybe gives you enough money to sign Wilkins, you know, to what he wants, if, in fact, you want to do that. You know, so you got to – I mean, it's a balancing act here. It really is.
Yep.
Say the least. But anyway, so, yeah, back to – well, I mean, we'll go back to this, I guess, you know, at some point. But, you know, in regard to – you know, our defensive coordinator, you know, again, we have to have the players. He's going to have a task right out of the gate, you know, in order to get a decent defense on the field without our, you know, our two key pass rushers. I mean, those guys are pass rushers. You know, you throw in the fact that Ogba's probably going to be, you know, a pre-June 1st cut as well, because that's another $4 million there. You're not going to have an awful lot to work with, you know, unless they draft another edge player.
And they're going to have to, you know, redo a lot of the contracts, you know, restructure them.
Right, right.
To be able to do anything at all, so.
Yep. I mean, right now you don't have an edge rusher that's under contract.
Not
Van
really.
Van Ginkle's a free agent. You got two guys hurt, and Ogba basically is going to be a casualty. So what do you have after that, guys? I mean, you're sure in the hell not bringing Ingram and some of those guys back. You don't want Ingram back after an offseason. He'll probably have another 20 pounds on him, you know, by the time he gets back in the camp next year.
I think they got to re-sign AVG. I really do.
Yeah. Or if they want to go a little bit cheaper, something else I was reading was, because he coached the linebackers for the Ravens, and Jadeveon Clowney had one of his best seasons.
Right.
And quite some time under him. So,
yeah.
I mean, and I know he wasn't getting paid a lot of money last year. So maybe you bring in a guy like that just to, you know, hold their ground until Chubb and Phillips get back. But I'm definitely interested to see what the timeline is for Chubb and Phillips, you know.
So speaking of coaches, we lost our linebacker coach.
Yeah. I wasn't too happy about that.
Who was that? Roy Campanello?
Not Roy, but not Roy.
No, I'm just kidding around. Lord. I know exactly who we're talking about. Anthony is his name, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He was great on Hard Knocks. And, you know, Chris, you brought up a good point to me during the week when we had a discussion. You want to make that comment here, you know, in regard to, you know, why you felt it was not a good thing?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, but, I mean, he's been with the team since 2020, so he was with the Flores regime, and then he was with this Fangio regime in this past year. So, I mean, I thought keeping him would be good as far as continuing to build continuity and him knowing the strengths and the weaknesses of, you know, that position group and the defense in general. So, I mean, I'm not too familiar with the guy from Green Bay that we brought in. We just got to wait and see, right?
Yep, exactly. He's got, you know, he's got at that linebacker position, he's going to have his work cut out for him as well. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Joe Barry
is his name.
Yeah, I mean, we really, really have a lot of question marks, you know, from a unit that was, you know, I felt going into last season, one of the best in the NFL. Now you've got literally question marks all over the place, you know, with guys injured, guys that may or may not be back, guys that could be casualties, you know, cuts. Wow. I mean, it's amazing what a difference a season makes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like we said before, you know, we knew this was coming.
Yep.
You know,
we did.
Knew it was coming, and this is the start of it, you know.
And
so how they manage it is going to be critical to any future, you know, success.
Yeah. And Mike, me and you, you know, to our credit, have been on the same page all the way through this. And when people would talk about, wow, you know, Greer's doing a great job. Look at this roster he put together, so on and so forth. And we said over and over again, yeah, but at what cost,
right?
You know, money, draft picks, guys that basically you gave up so much draft capital that you don't have players on your roster that can literally step in and replace, you know, guys that you may possibly lose. I mean, you know, this is a constant issue with us. We talk about it all the time. So we knew that this was a win now situation for this team. It was, you know, all in this season. And then, you know, now this year is, again, you know, a lot of question marks all over the place on that defensive side. And it's unfortunate.
It is. It is. Now, I'm looking at Greer here because there's a write-up on him that the Dolphins did. And it says, in addition to drafting 12 of the team's starters, Greer has a history of drafting impact players.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, he does, but most of them are playing for other teams.
Uh-huh.
Xavier Howard's with us, obviously. Jakeem Grant is no longer with us. Laramie Tunsil is no longer with us. Minkah Fitzpatrick is no longer with us.
Right.
Jason Sanders is with us. And let's see, Jerome Baker is with us, and Kenyon Drake is not. So,
well, that's just a handful. The Igbenogany is not.
What that was draft picks with top 10 contracts at their position.
Oh, okay. I got you. Now that makes sense now that you threw that into the mix. Now I understand where you're coming from. Gotcha. Yep. Well, go ahead, Mike.
No, I mean, there's not much to say, you know. It's just you would prefer some of those players had stayed in Miami, you know, but for financial reasons and other reasons, they didn't.
Right. And I don't care what the reasoning is. They're basically, they're not throwing out a million other guys that haven't been impact players that have been drafted, guys like Austin Jackson and Igbenogany and so on and so forth. That's just a ridiculous article, and I'd love to know who the hell was the writer behind that. Because,
well, it's coming from the team, so they're gonna paint everything with a positive brush.
Of course they are. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look, this is the way I look at things, right? You know, I look at guys that we've drafted over the last 10 years, say, right, where Greer's been involved, even more so. He's been a GM now for what, the last 5 years, 6 years,
2016.
So it's going to be 8 years.
Yeah, I was about to say close to eight.
This will be his eighth year. Okay, so, you know, when you look at that and you talk about impact players, how many Pro Bowl players that he drafted are on this football team right here and right now? And you can count on one finger basically, and that is Xavier Howard. You look around at all these other draft picks, and yes, they are. Wilkins, I would say, is an impact player. Robert Hunt is an impact player to an extent, but they're not Pro Bowl players. Well, Tua made the Pro Bowl, yes.
Yeah.
But again, Mike, we went down that road last week, and we just dropped it right there, and that's what we're going to do. We're not going to make this about Tua.
All right, what we're going to do is we're going to take a step back for just a couple minutes, and we'll be right back.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, the players voted for the top 100 players, and the Dolphins have six people on that list.
And who were they?
Well, think about draft now as I'm reading these. Number seven was Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Number 36 was Jalen Ramsey.
Yep.
Number 44 was Jalen Waddle.
Yep.
81 was Christian Wilkins.
Okay.
82 was Tua.
Okay.
And 83 was Terron Armstead.
Right. So
and
you
we,
had.
We drafted two of those people.
Two of those guys in the top 100 play. And this is, there's how many teams in the NFL?
32.
Right. So you got to figure that every team should have at least a minimum of three, right? You know, if it balances. To
right.
That.
In an ideal world.
Right. Exactly. But when you look at us as a whole and the guy, the first. Actually, the first, I think, three guys you mentioned, Mike, were not drafted by us. I think Waddle was the...
Waddle was, but...
At 44.
Right.
Right, yeah. I mean, and he was a top 10 pick. And I'd love to see that list of how many receivers are in front of him out of those 44. I would almost guarantee there's at least eight. There's probably eight receivers in front of him on that list.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. So, you know, you can look at that in a lot of different ways, you know, per se. Like, okay, so is Waddle really, was he worthy of a top 10 draft pick and giving up what you got to get him, right? You know, you had to give up a number one draft pick to move up and get him. So,
well, to his credit, he's had 3,000-yard seasons in a row.
No question. There's no question. Mike, the numbers are there, but... Again, you know, if you think about that for a minute and you think about what it costs to get him, and there's guys that are excelling that were drafted much later, above and beyond him, you know, you gotta look at that, you know, in a different way as well. You know what I'm saying?
I just think they went into that draft saying we're gonna get Jalen Waddle. I think that was a goal of theirs for Tua.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Tua, you know, the same thing. He was drafted at, what, number five?
Yeah.
Is he worthy of that? Is he a guy that at number five, you know, are you happy with him? You know, what you've seen out of him, you know, to up to this point in his career and what you're looking at going forward as a top five pick?
My problem with Tua, really simple, is he is developing still and it's year four. You know, we're going into year five.
Yes.
I wish we knew what he was going to be.
Well, I think we have a pretty good idea of what he's going to be, Mike. I mean, the same issues that he's had, some of the same issues. I mean, he did, you know, his long ball was much better this year. The timing was there because he was releasing the ball immediately. And I know they worked on that. There's no question about that. Because the timing with Tyreek and Waddle down the field was there, where it hasn't been through the first few years of his career. But a lot of the same things in regard to, you know, reading defenses and still, you know, once they take away his number one option,
right.
All of those things at this point, yeah, improvising, you know, he's got shortcomings, you know, arm strength. He can get the ball down the field. There's no question about that. I mean, he can air the ball out, but when you get him moving and you get him moving in the pocket and him trying to get the ball down the field, it becomes difficult for him. He can't throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field if he's on the move. He has a hard time with it. So he has, you know, he has some
deficiencies
that, you know, he can work on as much as he can. But, you know, when you're understanding defenses and you realize that you're setting up your players, you know, in different situations, if a guy's covered in the flat, don't throw the ball there. Look elsewhere. you know, those type of things.
He's actually, honestly, Lewis, he's pretty good at that. I mean, he doesn't generally throw his receivers into trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've seen quite a bit of it, you know, especially
a little bit
in the flats. Yeah, balls that shouldn't be thrown. I mean, Mike, with Tua, the thing that we all have in our mind is there's uncertainty, right? I mean, all three of us can sit here
and a little bit of doubt.
Well, yeah, there's uncertain, right, doubt, uncertain, whatever label you want to put on what our frame of mind is, Mike, in regard to Tua. I think that across the board, you know, as far as Dolphin fans are concerned, you know, there is question marks. And, you know, going into season five.
On the flip side, there's Tua on.
Yeah, right, exactly. What I'm saying is that I would say the majority of Dolphin fans, you know, Chris is a big Tua fan, but he, you know, and I don't want to speak for him, but I know just in talking to him that, you know, he has uncertainty in regard to, you know, what he is and what he may be down the line. And in season five, you really don't want that, do you? I mean, you know, you should really know at this point.
In season four, he had a pretty good season. I mean, obviously he led the league in passing.
No question.
He had some excellent games. That Denver game was incredible.
Right.
You know, so he hasn't been all bad. You know, it's just he struggles against the better teams. And that's maybe, you know, another year with McDaniel and another offseason of work will help him accomplish that, you know, to where he can make that hurdle, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, one thing that is a positive is he's definitely gotten better every year. He hasn't regressed. And finally running the same offense for a second year, I feel like that really helped him. And then going into this offseason.
It'll be his third year.
Well, this is going to be his third year now going into this offseason. I mean, I think it's huge for him. And I mean, I've said it for like the last 2 years, but I think this is really, you know, kind of his season. It's either going to make or break his career as a Miami Dolphin. And
I think so, unless they sign him to a, you know, a long-term contract before
which
they
I've
can't
read
get out of it.
Yeah, I've read that they are, or he supposedly he said to the reporters at the Pro Bowl that the extension's been done. They're just working out the legal side of it and all that.
The logistics.
But
I don't know that he said that. I thought he said he believes the team is going to get that contract done. I don't think he said it was in the works.
If you're running the football team, guys, you know, I'm going to ask you both this, and I don't care who goes first, but if you're the GM of this team, are you doing that?
If I'm the GM of this team, I want to look good, right? So. You know, I drafted him, so if I don't work with him, then it makes me look bad. So if I'm Greer, I'm pushing for that extension.
Yeah, but based on his performance, let me ask you that. Based on his performance, do you lock him in for years to come?
No, I would sign him to his fifth-year option and let him, exactly as Chris said, make or break.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
You know what really killed this situation and more so just the quarterback – in general, was Daniel Jones getting all that money last year.
Right.
Because now Tua can look at Greer and be like, so you guys don't think, you don't value me the same way, you know, like I'm not worth what Daniel Jones is worth. And I told you this, both of you guys on a podcast at the beginning of the season, that I felt like that Daniel Jones extension was a huge mistake.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about that, Chris, because...
No, I know, but you have to because that sets the market now.
Right, but yeah, Chris, so, answer the question, though, that I had asked. That's what I'm asking.
If we're going to do an extension, I would probably, because a lot of these new ones are 5 to 10 year deals, I'd do a 3 year deal, and then maybe you can get out of it after two.
Well, yeah, that's why they're 5 or 10 year deals, because the team has an out.
Right. You know? Well, we know he's our quarterback.
So to answer your question, I'd do a shorter extension.
Yeah, yeah. But hit.
I was trying to say, you sign him to the fifth-year option, and then in the sixth year, you can franchise tag him. So you can get two more years out of him
without
paying top dollar.
Right.
Yeah, makes but then sense. That doesn't really help our cap situation as far as right now, correct? If you do that.
Well, spending a dollar doesn't help our cap situation right now. So
yeah.
They've got to figure it out.
What's going to help our situation is Tyreek Hill maybe, redoing his contract. Because, I mean, my goodness. I mean, $53 million, right?
Let me ask you guys something, because I've been seeing this a lot, not even just in our Facebook pages, but just in general. Do you guys think that bringing in Justin Fields would be worth a second or a third round pick?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
For the potential upside, no.
He does things much better than Tua does in certain aspects, but then Tua does better things.
Yeah.
In regard to, running the offense and understanding the offense and putting the ball where it needs to be. Fields has an issue with doing just that.
Yeah. Right now, today, I think Tua is a better quarterback.
I agree. I've just been seeing a lot of things, and I've tried to look at it from a non-biased perspective because, you guys know this. I'm a huge fan of Tua, but at the same time, after how the last season ended up, I said, if we can get a replacement for him that's not going to break our bank or kill our future, then I'm all for it. And I've been really thinking about this Justin Fields thing, and my whole thing about it is like, so you bring this guy in to what? Compete with Tua? And then if he ends up winning the starting quarterback position, then you have to change the offense essentially completely because he's not a real accurate thrower. And, you kind of have to switch everything around.
Right, absolutely.
And then if it doesn't work this year, then what? So, I've tried, like I said, I've put a lot of thought into it. And I definitely do love the upside of Justin Fields. I think he can be a good quarterback in the league, but it's more so the timing of everything. Like, I feel like as much as this is a make or break year for Tua, the same could be said about McDaniel, he's got a lot of things to improve on. And if he doesn't, if this season, I've said this before, if this season doesn't work out with us winning at least one or two playoff games, I think Greer, Tua, and McDaniel will all be gone.
I don't know if I agree about McDaniel simply because he's had success in this, his first couple of seasons.
Yeah, but he's also had a lot of shortcomings, and in my opinion, is a big reason why the offense is stalled against better teams and more so towards the end of the year as well.
Yeah, he's failed at times, Mike. There's no question about it. I mean, that is true, and he's been somewhat successful early in seasons and beating up on bad football teams. Think about where this team would have been if the Jets had Aaron Rodgers and were at full strength this year. Do they even make the playoffs? That's the question. And I know there's a lot of intangibles that go into a season, but wow. I mean, you just don't know. So again, McDaniel comes right behind Tua with uncertainty, right? Because you just don't know how good he is. Is he an interesting guy to listen to? Absolutely, because he has a different approach when he does press conferences, and he's unique in that way. But all I'm looking at right now is the success that he has on the football field, especially against good teams, right? When the competition is there, the serious competition is there. Preparation, your team being prepared, which at times they weren't. The Tennessee game definitely comes to mind. I mean, they had the thing right there for the taking, and they dropped the ball. They had Buffalo at home a couple weeks later, and they dropped the ball. And it was more so on the offensive side that we had the issues. So I'm not sold on McDaniel up to this point. So I see your point, and I see Chris's point as well. If in fact he has another average season, then, you know, you almost have to say, wow, you know, with all of the turnover that's going to be on this football team, you know, you could very well see them clean house once again, all over again, and start with a whole different regime. You know, in regard, going back to Fields real quick, Chris, you know, I don't want to give up any kind of draft picks at this point. You know, as much as I do not like Greer's drafting, this team needs an influx of younger players that are going to be around for 3 or 4 years. Wow, you've got it. You've got to hold on to them. Unless you're moving up in the draft and you're going to get a pure stud across the offensive line, or, you know, just a phenomenal player at another position to give up a second rounder and move up in the first round, I'm not doing it, because right now this team needs as many young players, as many draft picks as they can put on the football field, because we're lacking in that. You look at our 53-man roster, guys, and you're going to be like, holy shit. I mean, what the hell do we have going forward? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
we have 22 pending free agents, so half of that 53-man roster is our free agents. Last thing I had to say about the McDaniel thing is, like, not only did we get outplayed in those bigger games, I feel like he got outcoached in almost every single one of those games against, you know, these elite level coaches. Agreed. Andy Reid, some of the better defensive coordinators. I mean, he just didn't make adjustments and kind of just kept running the same thing.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, we've talked about that. And that's a little bit of a mystery. You know, I have no idea why, you know, he would do that. You know, what you're doing is obviously not working. So, you know, what adjustment can you make to help the offense?
And exactly. we
never found that answer, because rarely did he mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
great.
Maybe he just didn't have the answer, you know, personnel wise, but he's got to figure it out.
I think he's stubborn. You know, what they say about people who claim their gene. Well, I guess he never claimed he's a genius, but, you know,
hears it all the time.
Exactly. And that's the label they put on him. So he, you know, wants to prove a point. And even with just how, when we're running the ball good and he still wants to drop Tua back and throw it 40, 45. I mean, even in that playoff game, we're in negative 20 degree weather and we're still throwing the ball 40 times a game. I mean, it just didn't, you know.
Yeah, that's questionable.
Wasn't a great game plan, in my opinion, but, you know. He'll improve.
We've talked about it over and over again. You know, the fact that Achane wasn't being used as much as he should have in those big games. I mean, you know, how do you not do that? I mean, as a coach, if I have that guy on my football team and I have a must-win game, then I'm putting the ball in his hands as many times as I possibly can, especially when he showed what he can do in that game. I mean, he had a great touchdown run against Buffalo. And then, you know, he touches the ball, you know, very few times the rest of the game. There's so many things that just did not make a lot of sense to me. And I do have a lot of questions in regard to him. And I think that he has to perform next year as well. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that there's guys that are great offensive coordinators and great defensive coordinators, but when it comes to head coaching, you know, they tend to fail. And at this point, you know, we saw it with Gase initially. He had success. Flores had success. McDaniel has had success, you know, in his first couple of seasons.
McDaniel became just the third coach in Dolphins history to make the playoffs in each of his first two seasons.
Yep.
The other two were Don Shula and Dave Wannstedt.
Wow. Yes. But, Mike, you have to look at the team that you're working with. I mean, compare the team that Flores took over, and even Gase at that, compared to what McDaniel has to work with. I mean, he's got the best receiver in football. He's got one of the best left tackles in football. He's had one of the best centers in football. You drafted Waddle high. You've got talent on that side of the field. On the defensive side, same situation. I mean, he's got a lot to work with, Mike. I mean, an awful lot.
And a lot of what he had to work with got hurt.
Yeah, agreed. There's no question about it. But again, Mike,
are they healthy? Does that change that score in Kansas City?
Absolutely. You mean on both sides of the football?
Yeah, sure.
I would think so. To an extent, though, you have to work with what you have. And when you've got guys that are not being utilized and other guys that are being overutilized, that's coaching, Mike. That has nothing to do with injuries, as far as I'm concerned. As Chris mentioned, you're throwing the ball 40 times up in Kansas City. I mean, you know, what's wrong with using your tight ends on short patterns and using A-chain and, you know, running the ball a little bit? I mean, a little bit more. I mean, that is coaching decisions more so than it is injuries.
Yeah, and I think another issue, a big issue, and it's something I've touched on before, is I do not like the fact that we rely so much on our speed and the gimmicky stuff. You know, it's like, we have to find a balance. We have to get a physical tight end who can run routes and be a threat. We need a Derrick Henry type of back that in those type of situations and in those
they're tough to find.
They are. Yeah, but at the same time, it's just more so the build of a running back. You know, it's like Mostert, like I said, I've said it before, as good as he is as a speed back, he still can run guys over. But the issue is, he's going to be 32 years old and he's had injury history pretty much. I mean, this was the second year in a row where he's kind of limping into the playoffs. The year before, he didn't even play in that Buffalo game because he broke his thumb or whatever, which was unfortunate. But at the same time, it's like, we need to get more physical and we need to find more of a balance on offense and not just rely on speed and quick pitches.
I don't disagree with any of that, because you need that. You need that muscle in cold weather, you know.
Yeah, and not only that, when you play these more physical teams, I mean, they figure out, as far as I'm concerned, the offense that, or the gimmicks that McDaniel runs, has kind of been figured out for the most part. Because you see, when we play these good teams, the offense kind of stalls out. So
if Tua didn't have the limitations that he has, that offense would be fine. But teams have learned how to take away the middle of the field and force Tua to throw outside the numbers.
Absolutely. And again, guys, you know, we can talk all we want. I mean, I feel we need a big physical receiver. Well, guess what?
I agree as well.
We had one on our roster all year, and he was never utilized in that situation. When you picked up Claypool, Chris, you were the first one to say, you know, week in and week out, we need to get the ball to him inside the red zone. Let him, you know, basically box out the defender. He's a big, strong guy. Get the ball to him. Never utilized him. So, you know, I again, this goes back to your comment a little while ago, to where he's a stubborn guy and this is what he wants to do. It's speed, 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 speed. If we do, in fact, draft a big physical tight end, you know, I don't see it happening. I just don't. First of all, because I don't feel that this is what he wants. He wants guys that are going to run all over the place. We do need physical guys. And, you know, in regard to the running back situation, Chris, on a 3rd and 1, Mostert he's just about as good as anybody, because he does not go down when he first gets hit. He bounces off of guys, and he is a strong power back. And I know he's old, but I think more so, as Mike said, you know, the Derrick Henrys of the world, that type of guy, I mean, there's kind of few and far between. I think that on the outside, blocking-wise, you know, receivers, we need a big physical wide receiver to, you know, to get first downs for us, to where if he's throwing the ball on the outside, you know, he can muscle a guy out. But we have issues all over the place. You know, the coaching's part of the problem. You know, the fact that the personnel that we have are very, very small all the way across the board in regard to our two starting receivers. You know, when you bring in a guy like a Cedric Wilson and some of the bigger receivers, you're basically telegraphing the fact that you're running the ball, because those guys are able to block the corners or the safeties or the linebackers if they have to, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the position that we are in. And there's really nothing we can do about it. This is our roster. You know, Tua is not the biggest, strongest quarterback either. I mean, you know, for him to extend plays like a Josh Allen does, or even a Mahomes, is not going to happen. This is the group of players that we have picked, and now us as fans have to understand that this is what we're working with.
What we're working with, exactly. All right, guys, we're going to break for a few moments, and we'll be right back.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I don't know what direction they're going to go in this year. It's going to be very interesting, but my guess is that they're going to get, you know, they're going to go after guys that are finesse type linemen per se, you know, that can move around and do some blocking, because that's what McDaniel likes to do. So we shall see.
Well, I do think that lineman is going to be their priority, but just to get back to Mustard for a second, he had 18 touchdowns rushing.
Yeah.
And he had 21 total. So let's not, you know, demean him, because he's been fabulous. Achan has been really good, but with Achan, I worry more about his injury history than I do Mustard's.
And again, a small guy, Mike.
Yep.
That's the issue that I'm trying to say, though. It's like, I love Mostert. I think Mostert had a phenomenal season. I think trying to replicate what he did this season, I don't think it's going to happen, to be honest. I mean,
he broke a record, you know.
Yeah, and he doesn't have as much tread as normal guys his age. But I think that relying on him and A-Chain is a mistake, in my opinion, because both of those guys are going to miss games, and you just really hope that it's not towards the end of the season when we need them. Because when everybody's in and everybody's playing, it's great. But whenever guys start to go down...
Right, you need depth.
Exactly.
Well, here's the way I look at that, Chris, right? I mean, yeah, I mean, you keep bringing up the issue that Mo starts, you know, old, right? But... look at the young guys that we lost. I mean, Phillips has been off the field. Waddle has missed games. They're young guys.
It's not even so much that he's old. It's just how much time he's missed over the years with injuries. It's not like he's just old and he's not injury prone. I mean, the guy is injury prone.
There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm bringing him back. I mean, until he can't do what he did. You know, I'm bringing him back year in and year out until he fails you. When you look around the league, I'd take him over a ton of guys. I mean, a ton of guys. I mean, he made the Pro Bowl this year, too. I mean, you know, he's a Pro Bowl player. I don't think that that's an issue, more so than, you know, getting our coaching staff to utilize the other players that are on this football team.
Yeah, we talked about that all through the season.
Is Mostert on contract this year, Mike?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if he's not, I mean, there are so many good running backs on the market right now. And with how it went last season, I just don't see these guys getting these huge contracts like they want. And just to name a few, I mean, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley. I mean, those all three of those guys, I feel like, could add something really, really what we need to this offense, you know, to pair with A-Chain. So, I mean, if the upgrade was available for not that much more, I mean, I know we're in cap hell right now. I mean, it's worth it, you know, but we'll see.
For what you got out of Mostert and what you paid him, I mean, guys, his base salary was $2 million. Are you kidding me? I mean,
right.
For what you got out of him for $2 million, come on. That was one of the best things that we did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying, relying on him to do that again next year, or this year, I guess, because we're in 2024.
Listen,
I
mean, even if he does half of what he did, Chris, he's still worth the $2 million. I mean, you know, he gets 12.
I'm not saying he's not worth the money. I'm just saying, like, we need a more physical presence in that backfield.
Yeah, he's signed through this season, and he's a free agent.
He is, and he signed for next to no kind of money. Jeff Wilson. I'm not sure about where he is in regard to
he's a free agent, but he might be under contract until next year as well. I'm not 100% sure on that.
I don't remember what we did with him when we brought him in. Is he under contract, Mike, for next year?
Who?
Jeff Wilson. I think he is, too. And Wilson's making as much What's funny is, guys, Jeff Wilson makes $300,000 more than Mostert did.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, he's a guy that if he's under contract, you could very well see him gone as well. But I don't think it's for an awful lot of money. I mean, if you cut him, you're only saving, I think, less than $1 million.
Jeff Wilson, his salary was $6 million.
Really?
Jesus.
Yep.
Wow. Wow, wow.
See, I'd cut him and give Saquon Barkley $8 million. Yep. You know, I mean, that to me is a no-brainer. Derrick Henry, $8 million. I mean, these guys aren't going to get much more than that. So,
no, I agree. The problem is, we're pulling money we don't have.
Yeah, I hear
exactly.
You,
exactly. Well, we're gonna, I guess, do a show somewhere down the line. I'm not. I won't be around for a while. Probably about a good month or so. But at some point, guys, you know, we got to go over this roster before the draft and see where we're going to be and what our thoughts are in regard to all of this. You know, well,
by the time you get back, half of them are going to be cut.
Yeah. Well, when is it? That's June 1st, Mike. I'll be back before June 1st.
No, actually, the new league year starts next month.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, and, you know, they have to get, I guess, the top 51, or I think that's the number.
Yep. I gotcha.
So,
well,
anyway, so
I'll be back around
be
that time.
Cuts.
We'll have a very fun show talking about all this. It'll be quite interesting because this roster, more than any other year, guys, right? Can you think of a year where there was just this many question marks?
No.
I mean, it's like, wow.
Well, we were irrelevant. Right now we're irrelevant. So,
yeah.
And, you know, that's the difference. It's a little more pressing now, you know. Okay, how do we stay relevant, you know? And that's the question they have to answer.
Exactly. And wow, I'll tell you what. You know, you look at this Tyreek Hill trade, right? As good as he is. I said Kansas City's gone to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row without him, right?
They have a defense.
Yeah. Mike,
great defense. And not only that, they are a great drafting team.
Yep. And that's my whole point.
And they have the best quarterback in the game.
We know. Let's not go down that road again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get him started on this draft.
All right. So tell me who you're picking for the Super Bowl.
Who you got, Chris?
I want to say San Francisco, but I know better than to bet against Mahomes. So, but I feel like San Francisco does have the better overall team. So I'll go San Francisco.
27-21, KC.
Okay.
So you like Kansas City. Okay. So I look at the quarterback position, right? Purdy's kind of, are you done, Mike? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm just laughing at your response. I did the same thing. I mean, you look at the quarterback position.
Yes. So I'm looking at the quarterback position and I'm looking at Purdy. And you see him at times, you're like, what the hell was that, right? He makes these throws that you're like, that's a horrible throw.
Yeah, the
right?
WTF throws.
But then once he gets rolling, he makes plays, okay? And then you look at the personnel around them, right? And you look at the receiving core on San Francisco. Ayuk, Debo Samuel, I'm taking them over, and Kittle over Kansas City's group. The running back position, he's good, Pacheco. No question about it, but he's not McCaffrey. So, you know, when you look at this as a whole, you look at the offensive lines, both pretty good offensive lines. I think San Francisco's is a little bit better.
Definitely.
So you're looking at the quarterback. He has to make the difference in this football game. Then you look at the defenses. And San Francisco's defense has not played great of late, whereas Kansas City's has, right?
Yeah, I'd give KC the edge there.
I think they're somewhat equal, though. So I'm going to give the slight edge to San Francisco because I think the personnel is there. You got to also throw coaching into the mix. They're both very good coaches. So
they're excellent coaches.
Andy Reid is going to come up with some plays to befuddle, I like that word, right? Befuddle, befuddle San Francisco's defense. But that can only go so far. In the end, I think San Francisco pulls this out. I think it's going to be an excellent football game. I think it's going to be a little bit more defensive than I think people are thinking. Kansas City's offense, guys, has to score. In order to win this game, they got to score 24 points. And I just don't know if they can get there.
27-21. So.
Yeah, I just don't know, Mike, if they can get there with the personnel that they have. So I'm betting on San Francisco to win this game 24-20.
Should be fun.
Yep.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, I'll see you.
Thanks for joining me today.
I'll see you guys in about 4 to 5 weeks. You guys carry the show. Chris, you got to step up your game. Mike, you got to step up your game because the guy who speaks the most on the show is not going to be here. So
we'll be just fine.
It's about time we get to express our thoughts.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. People are going to be like, thank God Lou is not there, so we don't have to listen to him for a whole half hour or an hour or whatever it is. So anyway.
I know there are people that enjoy listening to you, and I also know there are people you aggravate, so that's the way it goes.
I think I like the people that I aggravate, Mike. Yeah, I enjoy doing that. All right, so you guys enjoy, have fun, and everybody that listens, we'll see you in about a month.
Now they're going to think there ain't going to be a show for a month.
No. You guys are going to carry the show very, very well. I'm going to be listening every week.
And who knows? We may bring a guest on. We never know.
Yes, just bring the right guest on, Mike, please.
Hey, butt out.
Bring Jim Johnson back.
All right, so that's going to be it for today. Thanks for listening, everybody, and fins up.
Fins up, Dolphins.
Fins up, Dolphins.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right, until next week, be well and take care.
Podcast Network.